It's seven, so we're gonna go ahead and get started. All right, I'll call this meeting to order. 7 o'clock. First thing is pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. All right, we have approval of the minutes.
I would like to make a motion to approve the minutes as amended. I have given the changes.
Okay, we probably need to tell us what those changes are. I wasn't aware of that.
Just a point.
Are you talking about the ones that are that were just me and Bob?
No.
Okay.
Okay,
first.
We're going those first.
Okay.
So, Bob, do you have any discussion about the minutes?
No.
Okay. So, hearing no opposition or discussion, then we will approve those minutes as written. All right. So now we will approve or discuss the minutes from the regular meeting with the whole reorganized board.
Okay. Page one, under B, Bob Painter and Al present voted yes, instead of all present.
Oh.
And then on page three, down near the bottom, and where it says we'll take bids soon on fire hose, H-O-E-S.
Okay.
What's wrong with that?
And then finally, on the last page, where it's got Charlie Waters as Secretary Treasurer, he's only the Secretary.
Oh, true. Just for future reference, you are always able to respond during the month when she sends out the draft. We can make the changes at that time so that they're already done for the meeting.
We discussed
just
that
so you know.
Earlier, yeah.
Oh, you wouldn't have known that before tonight?
Right.
All right, so there is a motion to approve them as amended. I'll second that motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. Those minutes have been passed. Next up is the treasurer's report for the month of April 2018. Any discussion on the treasurer's report? No questions? No discussion? All right. Hearing none, we will file that for audit. Chief's report. Oh, wait. No, president's report. I don't really have anything to as a report, but next month on June 26th, which is the proposed meeting date, I will be doing mission work in Guatemala. So it's kind of up to you guys whether you want to move the meeting 1 week ahead on June 19th, or if you want to just go ahead and meet without me and Bob can run the meeting and I'm okay either way. You guys.
You can handle it, Kay.
I think we can handle it.
Yeah.
All right.
Now.
There you go. All right. That's all I had. So, next up. Next up is the chief's report.
All right. For April, we responded to 4 structure fires. Only 3 of those were actually in our district. One was a mutual aid to Central Platte in Platte City. 118 runs for the month puts us at the end of last month to 453 runs, which is we're about 18% ahead of this time last year. So, you know, Brian, if you remember back when, that'd be what we'd run a year. You know, when Brian started. So, We had 16 overlapping runs, six overlapping runs last month, two of which we did not respond to at all due to being on other scenes, and we were canceled before we were actually responded to the scene. So that puts us at a total of 34 overlapping runs for the year so far. Under investigations, you'll see the three investigations there for the recent fires, all of which has, other than at the time we left the Lakeport Lane, I believe the State Fire Marshal Office assisted with that, and I believe their final determination was undetermined as well. I haven't heard from a insurance investigator or anybody else who might have come to look at it to see if they've given anything, but on our end, it'll remain as undetermined.
That one on Marina Drive, they determined accidental?
They did, yeah. Five inspections last month, and yes, that was three different inspections for the Par Electric building. They built a giant new facility out on 136th Street, a giant maintenance building. It's about four times the size of our station. It's pretty massive, so it took several trips out there. And I know we'll have several inspections over the summer with the ongoing remodels and new construction with the school district as well. No plan reviews for last month. 11 open burning permits. Training, we had Firefighter Blanchard went to the swift water technician course and passed it. Several members went to a one-day building construction class as hosted by Kansas City Fire Department for a total of 295 hours of training for the month. I don't have anything new under health and safety. Other than you saw the information on the gear washer, and we have Justin Hallman is looking at some new hoods. They're supposed to be better protection from carbon particles. They're linked to cancer, carcinogenic substances getting on your skin. He's got, I think, three different versions in that the guys have been trying out and so forth. So they're about five times as expensive as what we currently buy. But there's only a couple on the market that do keep all those carbon particles off your skin. So we'll see what happens with that in the future. Station one, we will be looking to paint the building in the near future. I brought in the station signs. They were finally delivered. I'm going to work with the aluminum fabricator out here on 92 to have some brackets made that will mount those to the building. Okay. So we'll move along with that. I gave you information last month. Insurance is replacing the roof on this building. They will be repainting the building and making repairs to the outside AC units due to hail damage. Late last week, they said it would be 3 to 4 weeks before they had materials here to start the work. Since this went out, we had one of the AC units went out. I wasn't here when they fixed it. I'm not for sure what they fixed on it, but Penn's Heating and Cooling from here in town reiterated again that those are the original units to the building and that we are on our last leg with them. So. You know, he's like, they're just going to be too costly. If we can get parts, they're going to be too costly to repair going forward. So once one of those fails, they won't be able to fix it the way it is now.
How many are there?
Six total, I believe.
We probably need to get bids on those.
So that,
obviously that's going to be well over 10,000.
Yeah, it'll be a big deal. He was able to fix it. He was able to fix it as a maintenance item for now. But yeah, it's one of these days going to turn into one of those things where it's going to die. And you're going to be like, hey, there's nothing I can do with that. Mm-hmm. So. Station three, the tower, the IT project is complete. the system works. You can, the Wi-Fi is up. The link between that station and this station are up. The security system is fully functional and so forth. The only issue that came about as they were putting up the cameras were the grounding for that station, or I'm sorry, for the tower. So we're going to have to work with Midwest Mobile and make sure that we have proper grounding put on just to protect all of our stuff that's on that building then. So I have a call into them. We don't have anything set up yet. We're going to come take a look at it just to make sure that we're somebody to sign off that it's properly grounded. Under equipment, the new pumper has a main seal leak on the pump. It's not a huge leak. It will get worse. It's not something that's covered by warranty. So we're going to have that fixed. They're working now to get parts and then work on an arrangement on when to get it there. It's going to cost about $3,000 in parts and labor. So, other than that, on my truck, just routine maintenance done. They did put on new brakes. We had to replace the siren in it as well. But everything else, knock on wood, ticking along. Under administration, the highlights there, met with the Red Cross early in May, and our blood drive is tomorrow here from 2 to 7. I also had a chance on May 11th to meet with the new city administrator, about an hour long, you know, talking about our relationship between us and the city, you know, things that we can work together on, you know, continue a partnership. And to the best of my knowledge, with the new mayor and new board of aldermen and the new city administrator, that our liaison committee, you know, quarterly meetings will still continue. There's not yet one scheduled, but she seemed to be on board with that arrangement as well. Attended the alderman meeting. Besides all the construction work, traffic issues going on, there wasn't anything really that pertained to the fire district. June 4th, I'm going to have a meeting with all personnel. It probably lasts a couple hours. We'll talk, you know, gather some information from them and discuss some ideas for the future. And that is all I have.
Where do we stand on the hiring process?
I'll have a lot of information for you in closed session.
Okay.
I assume that's where you're going to talk about that.
Okay.
But we have final candidates, a final list was created to speak with you about.
Awesome. All right, does anybody have any questions?
Would there be, on the All-Hands meeting, would there be any problem if I just came up and sat in and listened?
I don't have an issue with that.
Would you guys have an issue? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Might not all be exciting.
I know, but I'm still trying to learn.
First question?
Yes. Hey, Chief, when you had one building fire with mutual aid to Central Platte,
mm-hmm.
how far off was that? And then what happens with our station, our fire district, say Smithville as a whole? Does someone fill in here or are we just vacant?
What we do is an all-call for station coverage. So off-duty members come in and staff this station. Typically, I come into the station here to make sure staffing. And I wasn't in town the day of this one. Do you remember whose shift that was?
It was our shift.
That was the C shift. where was that? Was that the one on Leopard?
That was the one that was Timber Creek, yeah. Right across from Shiloh.
That's right, Shiloh Springs, okay. Right down in there. We kind of operate on the same basis with everybody else as like when we use Kearney for them, you know, as soon as we can free them up, we go, you know, it's down to overhaul and that kind of stuff. And that's the same kind of thing that captains work towards here. You know, we're there to help out, you know, but we're not going to rehab on the scene. We're not going to, you know, hang around and waste a lot of time. You know, we want to get in, get stuff done, and get back to our district. But when they call, we do go, And like I said, I typically come to the station here. We do an all call for coverage. We have called in people in the past to cover our station. We had the first fire in Harborview. Central Platte actually came and stood by at this station and covered the rest of the district because we had about everybody else at that fire. So, you know, it doesn't always happen that we have a full crew if somebody's out on mutual aid, but we definitely take steps to try and cover every spot that we can.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All right, thank you very much. All right, I do not have any public comment cards turned in. Charlie's on the board now.
I have nothing to say.
And there is no old business to discuss, so we will move on to new business. The first of which is adding board members to the district bank accounts. I think my understanding is we have to make a motion that Bob and I remain on the accounts and then a separate motion to add the new members. Is that correct? Is that how we do it?
I believe so. I didn't speak with Connie about it today, so.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion that Debbie Childress and Bob Payne remain on the bank accounts.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, and then I will make a motion that we add Dwayne Garmison, Brian Leiborn, and Charlie Waters to the bank accounts.
I'll second.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. We will, Connie will discuss that with the bank this week, and once the, actually, that takes a month, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because we have to show them approved minutes.
Right.
So the minutes won't be approved until next month. Yeah. And so then after those are approved, they will draw up new signature cards and you guys will each have to stop by the bank. And so will you and I get that taken care of. So that's coming up in a month. next up, consider bids for purchase of 14-foot steel trailer.
So I, in your packet, gave you a capital improvement request and a purchase request form. This is the utility trailer that we've talked about the last couple of months. We're talking about proofreading here. As I realize in here, I have a couple mistakes. Where it says boat 3 should actually be boat 2 throughout the document there. So boat 1 and 2 are on a double stacked trailer with the larger boat on the bottom and the inflatable boat is on the top. Excuse me. Typically for swift water response we use is the inflatable boat. So in the past we've used the rescue to tow the boats. They get to location and then the guys have to lift that top boat down off the trailer. So the goal with this trailer would be smaller, more maneuverable, and it'd already be down at ground level. So it'll be a lot quicker and safer for them to get that boat into operation than it is currently with it being on top. You know, it was a great design. You know, it's made that you launch the bottom boat, and if you need a backup boat, then you can lower the top of it down and launch the second boat. But in we were rookies in the water rescue game when we bought it, and it's just not feasible. We use that inflatable boat a lot more and in a lot more situations that we need it to be more accessible. So you see the bid amounts there. Jeff Cobble, Captain Cobble's been working on this. And it is Trailer Town. I also see in there I put Trail Town. So. Which used to be Clinton County Trailers. They changed hands, and that's now Trailer Town. So they were the best option with what we were looking for.
All right. So, do we have any questions?
No. Make a motion to accept the 1900 from Trailer Town.
All right. I'll second that motion. All those in favor?
I forgot. Did anyone have any questions? I apologize.
No questions.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? All right, that motion passes. Oops. Next up is consider the bids for repair and replacement of concrete at Station 2.
So by the hydrant out front at the east end of the drive, the concrete is broken and collapsed. That is where a lot of times the truck ends up sitting for when they're doing training out there. You know, it's just wear and tear on that one particular spot. A big concern underneath there is the main also comes across the street underneath there, as I understand. So we, you know, we've been putting this off for quite a while, and it's just it's getting worse. Now it's a piece of rebar sticking through there, so we really need to get this handled. I had Justin Holloman, he's got background in concrete work, mark out what the area that we want replaced, and then he actually worked to get bids on the projects. The $6,900 bid from is Concrete Solutions from here in Smithfield.
What about some of the other places where there's damaged concrete, like on the sidewalk right in front of where, you know, there's the three parking spots where Connie usually parks? Mm-hmm. There's some damaged concrete there. Can they repair all of that at the same time?
I didn't have them bid any of that. And, you know, because I think some of that's the area where the edge of the curb is broken off. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Where it's the edge of the sidewalk's broken off?
Yeah.
Probably from the snowplow. Fireman probably shouldn't have a snowplow. We're just asking for trouble. I didn't have a look at any of that on there, but we can certainly, I have Justin look at it and see what our options there, and I'm sure we can have a bid.
It seems like it'd probably be cheaper to do it all at once than it would to do one piece of it and then have them come back and repair some of that other stuff. But
yeah,
it seemed like there was other damage in the parking lot, not severe, but
there are some other areas in the front apron. And where that gets a little tricky is because I think last time we had to wait like 8 weeks before we can drive over it with our apparatus. So you gotta, I can't do it all at once. we gotta still be able to get out of the station. So this will definitely hamper us, you know, using that spot. We fill trucks there, spot we use for training, that kind of thing.
Is that what it'll be, 8 weeks?
I believe it's 8 weeks cure time for that 8-inch slab to,
okay,
before we park a fire truck on it.
Mm-hmm.
You
know. See, I kind of agree with Debbie. Perhaps we could get it, if we repaired that, and then we also could get a separate bid on the other items. That's two separate things. Well, we have to bring equipment out, and this and that being a concrete service. Perhaps they could give us a cheaper bid if we did it all at once. But is the work that needs to be done by the hydrant, is that time sensitive?
I definitely understand that approach and doing it at the same time. I think it is because of, or we, you know, we need to put up something to block anybody from driving over it. You know, as it is currently, we don't drive apparatus over it because I think the ground moving underneath there, especially when it's wet, you know, that pipe, it's got to affect that water main at some point.
Okay.
And then I'm sure we'll come out, that's our fault, you know, if there are any issues with it.
Part of the sidewalk, what concerns me is just liability, because that's where, if somebody from the public comes up here, that's where they park.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody trips on that.
Yeah.
That'd probably be me. To be honest, but I just wondered if they could at least repair that part, maybe not the apron, but if they could just repair that concrete or that sidewalk part.
Yeah, and honestly, that might be something that we can do as well with some patch. You know, because I can't picture, I don't typically come in that way. Once in a while I get the mail,
right.
But I can't picture what the...
It's quite a bit.
What the damage is there. So maybe,
it's kind of in between where Connie parks, that very first spot, and then the next spot.
Okay.
And it's up into the sidewalk, not just the curb.
Okay.
They could do that all at the same time, as long as they're bringing
the
equipment out.
Yeah, we can certainly have them rebid it.
And that makes a lot of
sense. Well, so do I understand that there's the leeway that the chief has of paying for a service, if it's X amount of dollars, if we were to approve this and if they looked at it before they started on the job, said, okay, it's going to cost an extra $800, we'll have our equipment here. Can you just write that? Is he authorized to do that? Or must we have a bid for that?
Well, it's still going to be under $10,000, which is the limit, right? That you have to get.
At the $10,000 project has to be, we have to advertise for bids. So these were basically phone bids. You know, we called, I just said, give me three bids. And so we can call and get, now if the guy, you know, somebody says, well, yeah, it's going to be $15,000, you know, sometimes we'll do that on a, you know, kind of on a feeler basis, you know, find out how much this project's going to cost. You know, Station One's roof was an example. You know, when they're like, oh, tear off, that's going to be way over $10,000. So that's, if a project costs more than $10,000 in public funds, that's when it has to be advertised for bids.
Okay, so are we within our sunshine right, our legal right to it, if we decide to approve this, and then they can show up and see what more we'd like to have fixed, and then just say, like I said, that's $800, $1,200, and then you do that without approval from the board? Is that legal?
No, we need a special meeting.
We need a special meeting?
I don't know. I'm
well, we don't have. We don't currently have a policy that dictates, and that's something we've talked about addressing, is we don't have a purchasing policy that says how much money I can purchase, or how much money I can spend.
Oh, okay.
So, now, if we want to increase the scope of the work, I think we need to call all three of the contractors back and say, hey, we also want to do this. But keep in mind that this is now public record.
Okay, so I agree with this.
Mr. Waters, I can't hear you.
Oh. I would be in favor of moving forward as is because it is time sensitive at the chief's discretion. He believes it is, so I'm done.
Mm-hmm. I'm inclined to agree that, yeah, we'll probably get a better deal getting it all done. However, you know, like the chief says.
What would it take to get these bids revised and then we could meet a special meeting? I mean, not wait a whole month.
Well, to me, it doesn't make any difference. All I'm saying is that I don't, you know, just thinking of the integrity of the bidding, now all the other bidders know what they have to come in against.
Yeah, but you're still going to go back and say, well, if you're going to come in at this amount, why did you give us such a high bid the first time? You can still choose.
Right, I'm just talking about the...
Even if you get those three new bids.
Yeah, in the light of day.
You can choose whoever you want.
Absolutely.
I feel like we should get that. I mean, I just think it's going to cost a lot more to replace that if we do it completely separate, because they're coming out a whole nother trip and bringing all their equipment. Or they might just say, yeah, just adding that on is only going to be this much more. If we come out a whole separate time, it might be twice as much.
And that's where I can't picture the damage that's out there, but that might be something that we fix in-house. I mean, if it's a patch spot on a sidewalk.
Maybe we should walk out there and look at it before we go.
Can't.
You took a picture? Let's pass that around. I thought that was what you were rushing out there for. Maybe it's not bad as I remember. Maybe that's something you guys can have to look at. I'm going to let you look at it and see.
What an exciting ride, Tom.
Persian rug she bought. Did she shop?
Focus, Bob.
That means like that could be patched.
Yeah, you probably could patch that, right?
Yeah. You know, I would defer to Justin as my concrete expert. So I don't. There's only a couple things I know much about. Concrete's not one of them. But I would think that's something that we could patch.
Okay.
That we could fix that. Now, granted, our patch might only last a couple of years, but I think to have it fixed by one of these folks, they're going to come tear out the whole thing and pour a new sidewalk. We could probably patch it a lot of times for the cost of a new sidewalk.
Thanks for taking that picture. That's helpful to see it again. All right. Well, then I will move that we accept the bid for $6,900 from Concrete Services.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? All right. Get that repair in the works. All right, next up, consider bids for purchase of fire hose.
So this is, as we discussed before, we are short in extra on-hand fire hose. You know, all of our hose gets tested annually. There's stuff that doesn't pass the test. Sometimes it can be repaired, oftentimes it can't. So we lose several sections every year. We haven't been good about buying some, you know, every year or every other year. So after a pretty good-sized fire, we've got several hundred feet of fire hose to wash. We don't always have enough on a rack in the right sizes to get put back on the trucks in a timely fashion. So we got to pull it. You know, we got to steal some off of this truck to put on here to make it right. So I think... this amount, you know, now we haven't tested hose yet for this year, but this, you know, this will definitely get us back in, I think, where we need to be inventory-wise. You know, maybe year after next, we'd have to look at buying some more, doing some replacement, that kind of thing.
So we'd be buying all this is a total.
Correct. This, my recommendation is to buy, you know, those various pieces in different sizes, and then you have a purchase request form that is basically the bulk of the hose from Conrad Fire Equipment, and the remainder of the 4-inch hose from Feld Equipment, and they all bid the same products. Yeah, these bids, the selection here is just strictly by price.
So we're talking about $6,200.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Just out of curiosity, because I don't know anything about fire hose or anything, what's the difference in your 175-inch hose? You've got red, white, and blue.
Mm-hmm.
So...
It's all the same other than the color, and color helps differentiate as a pump operator. The color of the hose coordinates with the color tags that's on the truck, so if the pumper operator can look out and be like, well, he's on the red line, you know, over here, then I know which one's the red line. It's number two, you know, it's the number two line, that kind of thing. So, and if, you know, somebody's inside and they say, you know, shut down my hose line, well, they don't have to remember then, did they pull the, you know, number one cross lay or number two cross lay? You know, that's the red hose. You know, so it just color codes it to make it easier to identify.
Okay. I just wondered, because they were, yeah, the red and blue were, yeah, more expensive than the white.
Yeah, and I have no idea why. You know, it's a, because what they do is they color, it's a cotton, it's still cotton hose that's impregnated with a polymer. The polymer itself is what's tinted. So the white hose has the same polymer put on it, it's just not tinted. You know, why it costs that much more, I don't know.
Any other questions?
I will move that we go ahead and purchase the hoses from Conrad and Feld as quoted here.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Next up, consider bids for purchase of fire hose testing machine.
So you see a request and a purchase request form. This is the piece of equipment we talked about to test fire hose versus using pumping apparatus for it. And ironically, the damage that we talk about that causes the pump is what's actually gone with the new truck, and we haven't ever pump test or hose tested with it. So I don't know, I guess we got a lemon seal or something like that. But you know, so obviously those costs in maintenance, especially with older apparatus, you know, add up pretty quick. You know, it's a cheaper, less hard on equipment, less abusive to equipment, more user friendly to have this piece of equipment. Basically, it will fill the hose with water, and then this has a an air pump on it that will then raise the pressurize that water up to its service test pressure, which is about three times higher than what we'd ever really pump a fire hose at. But that's what our annual testing is.
So what is the, do you have any idea what the additional expense of the freight will add to it?
Pretty bad. I can't imagine that it'd be a whole lot. I mean, it's about the size of a small generator. You know, it's maybe
like $100.
Yeah, I don't know that it weighs more than 250 pounds. So, but it is, you know, if you were to make a motion that says, you know, $2,250, it might come back at, you know, $2,350 because of freight costs. Right. And they don't know the freight.
So that freight charges to get it to Conrad and they deliver it, or we go pick
they'll,
it up?
They'll or drop ship it to us. They'll come straight to us.
Okay.
Anyone have any questions about the tester? All right, well, I'll move that we purchase the tester and approve the additional expense for the freight as well.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? All right. Next up, consider bids for the purchase of a fire hose washing appliance.
So currently, after fire, all the fire hose gets laid out on the front apron. They wet it down, squirt some Dawn detergent on it, and scrub it with brooms. Gets rinsed, gets turned over in the same kind of dirty water that was already washed off of it, and do the same thing on the other side. It's not incredibly effective. I mean, it does get the big stuff off. What this does is it's basically like a smaller pipe welded inside of a bigger pipe with some jets on the inside of it. It gets hooked up to a water source. You pull the hose through it, and all these jets blast everything off the hose. Not high enough pressure, like a pressure washer that would damage the hose, but it gets all those surface contaminants off, and without kind of rewashing it in the same dirty water you just washed off the hose. So quicker, more efficient. It does remove more stuff than just using a broom on it.
Extend the life of our hoses?
I think so, because it's less dragging it around on the concrete. You know, the process of scrubbing it.
I just will say, having done that a few times, that that's a piece of equipment I didn't know existed. And I've done it a few times, like I said. Yeah, you lay it on the floor, wash it, then put it in an S so it'll dry, and then flip it over, and you're basically laying it back in the same area where you just washed it. So for that amount of money, that seems like a great piece of equipment that the last thing you want to do when you get back from a fire is wash hose. And just so if this makes it faster, sounds like a good idea, and it will lengthen the life of our hose, cleaning it better. I would agree. Okay.
So I move that we go ahead and purchase the fire hose washer.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? All right. Next up, consider bids for the purchase of gear washer extractor.
So this we've talked about several times. You have my recommendation in the purchase request form. This is a particular style of commercial washing machine, kind of like what would be in a dry cleaner or laundromat facility. It brings in, it does all the mixing itself, the water cycle, the detergent and so forth, scrubs the gear, and then extraction process is, instead of, again, sitting there sloshing around in that same dirty water, it spins all that stuff out and does several cycles that it gets the gear cleaner. And, you know, as we've talked about, you know, one of the biggest things that we're facing in the fire service is firefighter cancers. And this type of equipment is essential to that, to get that, to get those carcinogens off of the bunker gear. It's now, you know, it's kind of changed. It's changed things the way I started doing it. It's certainly changed things the way Charlie did it. We don't have to feed the horses anymore, you know. I apologize. But, you know, even at the scene now, you know, the guys have a setup where they do what's called gross decon. They get, you know, they rinse all that stuff off at the station or at the scene first. We have bags available. Hopefully we're bagging it up so we don't spread that same contaminants to the inside of the truck. Then the gear would come back here, get taken apart, get laundered. They have a backup set that they wear in the interim time until they're until that other set is clean and back in action.
Do we have, since well, you're washing off our known carcinogens, mm-hmm. do we have any problem with wastewater disposal on it?
Currently, there isn't. It's all there's nothing that is in a volume that it gets washed off that is a regulated material. So, where we run into trouble is if I wear the coat to a fire and I get this stuff on it and I don't wash it off, and then 2 days later I put the same stuff on to wear to a car wreck, and then, you know, the next time it's winter and, you know, it's cold, or I keep repeatedly exposing myself to the same stuff that's on the outside of the coat versus washing it off and that going through just a regular sanitary sewer where it gets diluted and then gets, you know, removed at some point through a water treatment process. So the difference would be in the constant dosage versus the dilution of it downstream.
I agree that we need it taken off to the bunker.
Sure.
You know, most assuredly. But like I said, my question was about the wastewater coming off.
Yeah. So then, I guess I wasn't being clear then. There are not any restrictions then on what you do on. We don't have to capture it and dispose of it as has waste, because it gets diluted enough and it's going into, you know, going into the system, that it's not in a concentration that would then affect you. You know, I wouldn't drink it, but I wouldn't drink anything that comes out of that pipe, you know. But it's the, you know, it's the dilution factor versus the repeated exposure factor.
Okay. I just didn't want to.
Yeah, no.
Get this and get trouble.
Absolutely. We don't want an EPA showing up or anything.
That's right.
Well, there's been a lot of stuff in the news. I mean, firefighters that have died recently from cancer.
Absolutely.
Even that FBI agent. So I think it's definitely anything that we can do to prevent the cancer and keep these guys safer.
Well, it's a scary thing that it's showing up in the, you know, the 12 to 15 year mark, right. You know, that kind of stuff. And you know, this area has been, the fire service, especially in the Kansas City area, has been hit hard by this exact same thing. So, right. You know, I think it's a good prevention thing. Justin Hallman really took this on as a personal project, and he's given me more information about extractors than I thought was ever out there. And to include also, you know, how we're actually going to get this thing installed and, you know, how to get an operation, that kind of thing. So he's looked at that stuff as well.
So does this bid include them installing it, or do they teach you how to do that? Or?
Well, it does include them installing it, but it's installing it like when Lowe's delivers a washing machine, then they install it and they hook the black hose up and they hook the two hoses up and they plug it in. That to them is installation. So yes, they do install it. What we need to do is, the drain is there. We need to bring the pipe up, the black pipe attaches to, and the water lines are already there. There's just no valves on them. It was stubbed in, but it's not finished. and we'll need a, Justin's still working on it, there will be an electrical line, a 220 line that we need to run into that area. And it's probably going to be in the $350, $500 range to get that line run over.
So this doesn't replace any the laundry that we already have out there. It's just in addition.
In addition, right. Yeah. Because this
and
is
we put, have room for it?
Yes, this is only for it. Yeah, actually, I mean, the space in the station was designed for it, you know, from back in the day. They just didn't put one in. Yeah. Yeah. So no uniforms, bedding will all still go in the other machine. This is just for bunker gear.
Okay. Does anybody else have any questions?
I do. I kind of have a statement. If I was a member of the audience, I would probably ask a question. We're choosing to purchase some great items tonight and still have a choice on one. But the question that comes to my mind, if I were in the audience, and so I will ask it nonetheless because no one else is here to ask it. Why doesn't the station, this is to me is a modern station, why don't we already have some of these pieces? And that's not on the agenda, so if you choose not to answer that, that's okay with me, because I know the answer, however.
When this station was built, I think it was seen as a luxury. You know, it would have been an awesome bond project. Under previous administration, we did have an agreement with the laundromat locally that they would wash our bunker gear into their machines. That laundromat has since went out of business.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Discussion? I'll move that we purchase the washer extractor.
Second.
From All Pro Laundry Equipment.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? We've got a lot of buy-in to do.
Yeah, it's going to be
Christmas.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, and then the last step on new business is to consider bids for a hose drying rack.
Sure. So you have my recommendation and request. Basically what this is just what it says. It's a rack that, you know, we've always laid out that same hose on the floor to dry it, put the big fan on it. It's not incredibly efficient. Especially in the summertime when we start getting humidity. They do make powered heated drying racks and so forth that we used to use for hose. Currently, that's no longer recommended for hose because it dries out the liner on the inside. So basically, this is just a heavy-duty rack that gets the hose up off the floor, eliminates the trip hazard, the slip and fall hazard as well, more efficient at getting the hose dried.
Inside.
It's portable. I mean, you can pull it out, load all your hose on it and so forth, move it out of the way. So you don't, you know, because then once the hose is dry, it gets rolled, and then we have mounted racks. They're out in the bay. Actually, Brian built them years ago. They still hold up, still do great. You know, so once the hose is dry, then it gets put up there away. This is just gets it off the floor, keeps it cleaner, keeps it out, you know, it's not a tripping hazard, a slip and fall hazard.
Pretty nominal cost for something like that,
yeah.
It seems.
You can set it up so that when it comes out of a hose washer, they can pull it right out.
Just pull it right on there. I'm sure these guys, they are ingenious. I'm sure they will figure it out.
I move we go ahead and buy the fire hose drying rack.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. That is the end of the new business. So notice is hereby given that the Fairfield Area Protection District Board of Directors is going in, well, we're voting to go into closed session. Authorized by the State of Missouri Sunshine Law 610-21 for legal and personnel. The next meeting is June 26th, 7 p.m. Be led by Bob Pinter. I will move that we go into closed session at this time.
Second.
All right, it's a roll call vote. Wayne?
Aye.
Brian? I'm a yes. Charlie?
Aye.
Bob?
Yes.
All right. We're going into closed session. Thank you all for coming. I'll see you in 2 months. Thanks, Brian.